right, welcome to a new episode of Piecing It Together, the podcast where we take a look at a new movie and try to figure out what movies inspired it. I'm your host, David Rosen. Again, I don't know, do I say that? Every once in a while, I say that at the beginning of an episode, and I'm always like, do I say that at the beginning of episodes? Well, anyway, today on the show, we have with us a new co-host joining us. We've got Liz Shannon Miller, a film critic whose work I've read online multiple times, and it's great to have her here on the show. So we are going to be talking about Lulu Wang's The Farewell. It's an A24 film, stars Awkwafina, and it is about a woman whose grandmother is dying, but her family, the customs of her Chinese family are to not tell her that she's dying. They think that it's better for her to just live out her days and for the family to go see her. They've put together a wedding so that way everybody can come and get together and see her in China, but they're not going to tell her that she's actually dying, and they're going to hide all of her test results and everything. And it's actually a really sweet movie. It's a beautiful film, and it really takes you into a totally different culture that you don't really get to see often enough in cinema. So at least in a movie that's going to be pushed in, you know, American theaters. And so it's a really good film, very highly recommended. If you haven't seen it, it is expanding to more theaters today when this episode goes up. So push pause, go watch it, and then come back and listen to this episode. So before we get into the episode, I want to remind you to make sure you're subscribed to Piecing It Together on your podcast app of choice. You can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can follow us on social media at Piecing Pod. And you can join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, a movie discussion group where we talk about all of these movies. Although lately we've been talking about Hobbs and Shaw more than anything, but we should be talking about The Farewell. Maybe I'll go start a thread in there right now. All right, let's get into the conversation. All right, so we got a new guest with us today. We've got Liz Shannon Miller, a freelance film critic. Liz, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen your work online all over the place. Why don't you tell people a little bit about you before we start getting into the movie and you know, where your work has been?
Yeah, basically, I've been writing about film, TV, pop culture, technology, et cetera, for over 12 years now, professionally. And I, you know, recently started freelancing full time after 5 years at IndieWire. But since then, I've been published by the AV Club, Variety, Hollywood Reporter, the Daily Beast. I'm honestly, like, I was updating my Muckrack account, which is the, you know, is a site where you can list all the things you do and all the places you've written for, and remembering, oh, that's right, I did run that. I did write that thing that made it into the LA Times, like that sort of stuff. So it's, I should do, the moral of the story is I should do a better job of tracking what I'm doing. But if you want to check out what I'm doing, like, you can go to LizShannonMiller.com, and that's all my social stuff and whatnot lives there.
I can barely keep track of our 77-ish episodes so far. I can only imagine with everything you do. I see you around online and everything, and I know you are you're busy.
I'm less busy than I used to be, but I'm the whole point of it's, I'm very busy trying to get busy, if you will.
Yeah, like, there you go.
Half of their freelancing is really two jobs. One job is trying to get the job, and the other job is doing the job. And unfortunately, the first job is a lot harder than the second job.
Yeah, so I've heard, absolutely. Well, right on. Well, why don't we get into The Farewell? This is a movie which, you know, I've done an intro in the intro of the show already about what exactly it is and all that, but this is a movie that I was very much looking forward to, as I'm kind of a A24 fanboy. I mean, there's lots of us out there, and, you know, whenever there's a new one coming, and of course immediately starts getting so much buzz, I'm definitely looking forward to it. And it took a while to get here to Vegas, although from what I understand, it's actually expanding even further once this episode goes up into more theaters. So that's great. I'm glad that more people are going to get to see it, because it's a quite beautiful movie.
Yeah, it's been, I feel like I haven't checked the exact box office stats, but I know it had a really strong opening weekend based on its per screen average when it just launched in LA and New York. I think it's been a movie that people are talking about a lot more. I actually took my parents to see it, and they hadn't heard about it, but they both really liked it, like you said. Like, it's a really charming film.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, why don't we get into some puzzle pieces already? Why don't we jump in with your first one?
Sure. And I'm going to say it, and then hopefully I don't get yelled at by anyone that I, because I have a, there's a very specific reason why I'm bringing up this movie. It's not just because it's also about an Asian family, but the Joy Luck Club was something that was, when asked to come up with the puzzle pieces idea, like, that was the first thing that came to mind. And not because it's about two Asian families,
Sure.
or about Asian families, but because I could. There, you know, one of the elements of the farewell, of course, is there's a lot of scenes where the families are eating together, and there's a part of the Joy Luck Club that I've always really liked, which is the part about how, you know, the idea of taking the best portion and, you know, what it says about you as a person at a table within this culture. And so watching everyone serve up the food and, like, really engage in terms of, you know, like the grandmother insisting that her granddaughter eat, like, those, that's what it made me think about, because it's, you know, it's such a clean example. In the Joy Luck Club, it has, like, a massive significance for one of the characters' storylines, but it just in this film, it just reminded me that, like, you know, food is such an important part of culture, every culture, and watching how people interact over it is fascinating.
Absolutely. I think food and family are going to run through a lot of my puzzle pieces as we continue through this thing. But yeah, the Joy Luck Club, you know, absolutely. I don't think anybody should yell at us. I think it's a pretty clear connection that, you know, especially the family element. You know, I had asked my fiance, I was like, you know, what other movies can we think of with, like, a really cute little old lady at the center? And she said, how about the Joy Luck Club? Is that too obvious? And I was like, no, like absolutely, that belongs on our overall list of puzzle pieces, I think. And it wasn't on mine,
Oh, cool.
Only because I haven't seen it in a million years. I didn't feel prepared to talk about it much, so I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah.
So, right on. I will go with my first puzzle piece, which, like I said, there's going to be food involved. And that is My Big Fat Greek Wedding,
Oh.
which another movie that, you know, brings us into not only a wedding, but, I mean, I was so hungry during this movie. There's just so much food on display, and it's like, and it's just, you know, it's family, it's food, it's, you know, the things that, you know, and it almost sounds a little cliche, but, like, the things that really do truly matter, and the movies reminding you about those things that truly matter, is that, you know, those good times with family, and those great experiences that bring family together, and food, lots and lots of food.
I actually didn't re don't remember. I've only seen My Green Big Fat Greek Wedding, like, once, but I don't actually don't remember it having a lot of long food scenes.
I don't think it was as much as this, but it's certainly, maybe I just love that food so much that it stuck with me or something.
Gotcha.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, definitely, I love that food so much.
Good to know.
Yeah.
So another puzzle piece for me, and I think it's kind it's not the cleanest connection, but I it in terms of In terms of the in terms of the fact that, you know, like, as the film opens with, you know, based on an actual lie, I was kind of re I was reminded a bit of the beginning, the earlier parts of Catch Me If You Can, specifically how, you know, the character of Frank is, you know, he sees his father lying constantly. And his father is a con man, much like he'll eventually become. But a lot of those lies are oftentimes, like, they're like nice lies. They're like lies to make people feel better. And there's a part, I'm not saying that there's a con involved with the farewell. Like, it's a very different sort of thing. But I feel like there's, you know, we think a lot, we talk a lot about, like, the idea of truth versus fiction, telling the truth versus telling a lie. And, you know, the question of whether what makes a good lie, like if it's, is it, you know, is a fascinating one. I think there are parts of Catch Me If You Can where, like, you know, the story that, you know, the idea of like Frank being able to tell a story about his life versus, you know, actually telling the truth about it, you know, it's, he's trying to make things better. He's trying to, you know, not cause, he's trying to make the world, make his world a better place, if only in his own head.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah, that's actually, I think it's a great example of that. I was trying to think of a movie where, you know, like little lies, you know, but I couldn't quite think of a good one. And I think that's a great example of that, where one of the main characters is, you know, telling little lies. And I mean, really, there's so many, you know, lies, and I don't really know outside of this movie. I think one of the interesting things about The Farewell is that it's taking you into this different culture that, you know, maybe we don't really, you know so well. And I don't know for sure how prevalent this is, but it seems like, you know, everyone in the family is, you know, kind of tells little lies here and there, left and right. And they're always not, like you said, nice little lies. Like, they're not like big, you know, they're not cons or anything like that. It's always just sparing people, you know, the knowledge of potentially, you know, bad or troublesome or hurtful things.
Yeah, I think the movie does such a beautiful job of really setting that up in a way where it's not just, it's, you know, like the concept of the big lie that's going to be told is not under, is really nicely, you know, set up, as I just said. Sorry, I'm repeating myself. But it's set up in a really nice way by those earlier sequences when Billy is just constantly like, you know, saying, oh yeah, everything's fine, I have plenty of money, that fellowship's going to come through, no problem, like, you know.
Yeah.
And then when she finds out about the big lie that's going to be told, like, it's not that she's hypocritical, but it's definitely a fun moment, or not a fun moment, but like it's a fun connection that gets made in a very nice, clean way.
Sure. No, that makes sense. Absolutely. Well, I'm gonna go with my next puzzle piece then, which is, it might seem like a little bit of a stretch, but it kind of ties in with what we were just talking about there. It's the Michel Gondry, Charlie Kaufman film, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Oh.
And the reason I'm bringing this one up is because, of course, there are different reasons here between the two movies. In The Farewell, they're telling a lie of, you know, just not telling the grandma that she's dying of cancer, so that way they can all just be together and have more happy times together, not dwell on the bed. Where in Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, they, by the end, now have this knowledge of all the bad things that could potentially happen to their relationship, and they, you know, choose to just go with it anyway. And it's that I think that's like a beautiful thing of that, you know, knowing that there's something, you know, bad and painful, you know, down the road, but going with it anyway. And that's the connection I made between the two. And like I said, it might feel like a little bit of a stretch, but I thought that was like a really, really beautiful, hopeful thing to just kind of, you know that there's bad down the road, but just forget it. What's important is that we, have good times now.
Of course. Yeah. No, so I think it's a solid comparison. I think like it, you know, I think would also another nice connection is the fact that, you know, it is kind of a tonal thing, like that kind of bittersweet situation.
Sure, absolutely. The score, even, I think, kind of in a little bit recalled the Eternal Sunshine score a little bit at times.
Yeah.
So what do you got for your next puzzle piece?
It's a little silly. But I think that this movie does a really nice job of, even though like the older women in the film are not the central characters, I think this movie does a really good job of making them feel like real people, much like that great classic of American television, The Golden Girls.
Nice.
And I feel like also, and I think there, you know, it's, you know, a lot of the movie's comedy does really come from, you know, the things that Nene says, Nene say, that came out weird, but the things that Nene says, are funny, but they're not funny in a, oh, isn't that, is what a silly old woman sort of way. No, she's very much a real character. She very much has her own life. And also, we're getting a bit into the spoilers, but...
Which is fine. We always expect people to have seen these movies.
Great. But in this, I really like the scene where Billy talks to her great aunt about, like, oh, what will happen after, you know, you should be with your husband and take care of Nene. Instead of taking care of Nene, or rather, you should have your own life instead of just taking care of Nene. And her great aunt's like, no, I've got it all figured out. You know, my husband will retire eventually and we'll be together. And like, you know, we'll travel. And it's just like, it sounds like her great aunt has a, you know, is going to have a life. Like, I love that concept.
That's great. And she's a great character. And I it's funny. I was trying to think of more little old ladies, you know, in movies and stuff. And I thought of Bea Arthur, but I didn't like immediately think, oh, I should put Golden Girls, but, absolutely.
Well, another thing you could potentially, it's like, you know, maybe the sequel to The Farewell is, the Farewell's version of, this is the Farewell's version of the Best Exotic Marigold Hotel.
Yeah, right.
Like Nene and her sister go traveling the world, go to India and have a fun time.
That sounds like a blast.
Yeah. So what do you have next?
So for my next puzzle piece, bringing back things to kind of obvious surface level comparisons here, but you know, Crazy Rich Asians was such a huge phenomenon. What was that? 2 years ago, I think.
Right.
Yeah. And I think it's kind of impossible, even though it's so surface level, I think it's impossible not to look at that as a little bit of an inspiration. This almost in a way being like, there's this mega huge version of let's really try to push, you know, a movie by a Chinese American, you know, filmmaker and, you know, showing different culture and everything like that. And this being like a little bit more indie of a version of a story of that culture change and a story of, you know, centered on a wedding, centered on, again, wedding and family and food and, you know, all that stuff, which was, you know, big parts of that. I feel like this is, in a lot of ways, it kind of draws from a lot of the same kind of experiences.
Yeah, I see that. And kind of piggybacking off that too, I think one thing, I'll go to my next puzzle piece because for this element, I mean, both Crazy Rich Asians and this film were both shot in, you know, in their, you know, actual locations. And I found The Farewell was shot in China and in large part, and the parts of it that were shot in China, it's not like glamorous China. It's, you know, it's kind of this industrial kind of worn down area of the country. And it really reminded me of the Full Monty and other like films set in like kind of industrial Britain. And in like just kind of like that kind of like gray overcast, you know, not meant to be beautified, just kind of like real location.
Sure. I thought of Wild Rose from earlier this year. Kind of had that kind of a vibe going for it as well.
Yeah. I mean, not gritty, but just like, you know, not, but like definitely kind of real and non-glamorized. So kind of the,
exactly,
you know, in this respect, kind of the polar opposite from Crazy Rich Asians, which is all about beauty.
Sure. Absolutely.
It also set in a completely different part of Asia. So, you know, it makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, no, that makes total sense though. It's like kind of the opposite in that respect. I like that. That's cool. And, you know, and to that piece again, another point about that, I found it really interesting that when they would jump back to New York, it almost couldn't tell sometimes, you know, it's just city. It just kind of seemed like city area.
Yeah. No, it's like, I mean, in some respects, you know, a city is a city.
Yeah, exactly. It's a city is a city. And the people there, they're, you know, they have different culture, but it's, you know, it's not all that different really, you know, and I think that kind of ties those things together in an interesting way. So I'll go with my next puzzle piece. And that is, I think that this film, in a lot of ways, more than anything, it's kind of like just like a really kind of feel good family comedy. I mean, you know, yeah, at the center of it, there's, you know, a melancholy, you know, at the middle, but really it's about the happiness of family. And I thought of Little Miss Sunshine, and which is such a, like, you know, like such a stereotypical, you know, feel good family comedy kind of thing. And I just thought of that and that idea of, you know, through everything, family shines through, no matter what, you know, either hard or difficult or crazy situations the family goes through. It's a movie that its main, like, kind of thesis is to show that family can really bring out the best in everything and really bring people through all that hardness.
No, I think that makes a lot of sense. And actually, I'm glad you have a good example of a family dramedy, because I was kind of blanking. I honestly, like, I wrote down Downton Abbey, like, but the thing I like about Downton Abbey, the thing I really like about you bringing in this Little Miss Sunshine is that, you know, it's a fairly large family. There's different ages, different relationships throughout everything, and they're all really well defined. Like, Billy has a very different relationship with her father than she does with her uncle. Her uncle and her father, like, really feel like brothers, and the scene where they're all drinking with their mother, like, it's great. Like, I think, like, you know, anytime you do anytime someone does a family, a story about a family, you can tell that the really smart people are the ones who sit down and they make a chart and they have every character on it, and then they just draw lines between each character and ask, like, what do these people do when they're alone in the room together? Like, who are these people when they are just together?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. Absolutely. And yeah, there's so many of those lines drawn between these characters. We get to see so much interaction between this family. And we get to, like, really kind of know all of them and how they all interact. And it's cool that you get to see so much of the family and get to know so many of them. And there's a lot of fun from the main scenes of them eating at the restaurant to whether it's just like Billy and her grandma, which are, you know, of course, some of the best moments of the film.
Yeah. And I feel like they did this is just a kind of a tangent, but something I was thinking about, this brought to mind, the couple getting married in this film, and the poor bride and her inability to understand, not speaking Chinese, like, she doesn't know what's going on for the most part. And she has to be, and her husband has to translate for her. But I really like the fact that the filmmaker made a clear choice to not translate any Japanese, not provide subtitles for any Japanese. So it's very much like you're very much in the perspective of these characters, the central family, and And I feel like it's something where, like, I want to check out the movie when it becomes available for home video or home video distribution, just to see, like, if, you know, subtitle wise, like, you can put the subtitles on and see will the caption just read speaking Japanese?
Right. Yeah, that would make sense too for them to do that, because to really truly keep you in with this family. This family is your that's what you're here for.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Also, it's been a while since I went to a theater to watch a movie with subtitles. And it was actually my mother is a little hard of hearing, and she does wear hearing aids, but most of the time when they're watching stuff at home, they'll watch it with the subtitles on or the closed captioning. And so, like, it was like a nice reminder of, oh, that's right. You know, really, for people with hearing issues, sometimes, you know, foreign movies should be far more popular.
Oh yeah, sure. That works. I mean, honestly, I've gotten to the point, I mean, I'm only 38, but I've gotten to the point where I watch movies at home with subtitles all the time. I mean, it just makes life so much easier, you know?
Well, also, like, sometimes it's like really worth doing just because it depends on who's doing it, but you can get like additional insight. Like something I've never done but really want to do at some point is rewatch Twin Peaks: The Return. Because this is something, again, my parents pointed out because they watch everything with subtitles and they watch the whole season. And apparently, like, the closed captioning may have actually full-on been written by David Lynch because it is full of details about what you're actually hearing when he's doing, like, whatever crazy stuff he's doing.
That's great.
Yeah.
What a great idea.
Yeah.
Well, did you have any other puzzle pieces?
No, I think we've gotten over a lot. I mean, I think this is, I know that sometimes your episodes could go a little longer. I was looking at your Once Upon a Time in Hollywood episode, and I saw it was an hour.
Sometimes they get up there, but sometimes, yeah, if we get in, we get out, we get what we need to say in there, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think also, like, you know, whereas Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, like, you could probably take this approach to discussing it for more than an hour. Like,
sure.
There's so much that Tarantino packs in there. Like, this is a very simple but very beautifully done film.
Yeah, it's a sweet movie. You know, like we've said through a lot of these puzzle pieces, which I'll read down the list here actually, and then we'll go into talking some more closing thoughts. But yeah, the finished puzzle is The Joy Luck Club, My Big Fat Greek Wedding, Catch Me If You Can, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, The Golden Girls, Crazy Rich Asians, Full Monty, Little Miss Sunshine, and we'll throw Downton Abbey in there too while we're at it. but yeah, no, a lot of like just, you know, sweet family stuff. I think, you know, family and the importance of, you know, kind of being in the moment really is like what I think that this family is kind of teaching through the message of the film, you know. And, you know, again, not to approach it in a too cliche of a way or anything like that, but I mean, it really is a film with a message, you know, that it's trying to impart on you, you know, by the time you've walked out of the theater to be like, oh, I need to spend some more time with my family.
Yeah. You know? No, absolutely.
It really does seem that way. So, do you have any other thoughts about the movie before we wrap it up?
I mean, I'm just getting a little teary thinking about the ending because, it's basically when she's waving at the cab as it drives away. Like, my grandmother passed away. My last grandmother passed away several years ago. But she would do that. She would wave as we drove away after a visit. Aww. So that really hit home for me.
That's sweet. Yeah, I could imagine, because that scene, that was beautiful. That was absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, it's a charming movie.
Yeah, absolutely. One other thought, and that's while I was trying to put my puzzle pieces together.
Sure.
I was thinking of the scene where she's the Nai Nai is teaching Billy the move for, you know, releasing negative energy and everything. And I was thinking about I think she might hit her once, you know, or something, and she calls her stupid child and stuff. And I actually thought of Yoda in Star Wars training Luke Skywalker. And it was just a thought that I wanted to throw out there.
No, that's what I think. No, but it is funny.
Yeah.
I wonder if it works. I haven't tried Nene's moves yet, but maybe they do get out the bad energy. Who knows?
We might have to try that after we're done recording this.
Absolutely.
and one other thought. I was trying to think of puzzle pieces while I was working it up, and I was thinking about Awkwafina's performance. And, you know, quite frankly, she's someone who I never really. It's not that I didn't like her. I just never really was into her whole thing very much, you know? And, it's just interesting seeing her take on, you know, a much more grounded, much more, emotional role. And so I was just thinking of other, you know, kind of comedic and out there actors who went on to do, you know, more grounded roles. I was thinking of maybe like an Adam Sandler film or something, like one of his PTA films or something like that. But I think she does a great job though here, really reining in her persona, and still there's still shades of her being wacky and all that stuff. But you know, really doing a great job with a dramatic role.
You know who's another good comparison for that? One Marshall Mathers. Who actually does? I think Eminem had a far shorter road to cross when playing in 8 Mile, but he definitely I think it's similar to what we're talking about, where it's like with the right director and the right actor can really deliver something outside of everything you might expect.
Something tells me Awkwafina would love that comparison.
I mean, who doesn't want to be compared to Eminem? That's basically life goal at this point.
Nice. Well, do you have another movie you watched recently you'd like to recommend?
Oh, goodness. In theaters or just at home?
Really anything. Any movie you've watched recently.
I confess that I've had this, I've been covering the Television Critics Association press tour for the last 2.5 weeks. So it's been a while since I've really dug into movies. I will say though, I went and saw Spider-Man Far From Home again, and I liked it a lot more than the second time. I thought it was great. Also, I got an A-list membership because who doesn't like to go to the movies as often as humanly possible if you can?
Love A-list, absolutely.
And one thing that AMC did recently was for the 30th anniversary re-release, Do the Right Thing. And you know what?
Nice.
Do the Right Thing, pretty good movie. Pretty good movie. Not shocked. I'd seen it before, but it'd been a really long time, and getting to see it in the theater was great. But yeah, I think it was great to watch a movie that I hate the fact that we can call it a classic and it was released in my lifetime. But it is a genuine classic and worth revisiting if you haven't in a while.
Yeah, it's actually been pretty high on my list of movies that I'd love to revisit. I haven't seen it since I was a kid, basically. I mean, or at least early teens. And I would love to watch that again sometime soon. I that would have been great to see it in the theater.
Yeah.
Well, right on, Liz. This was great. I want to thank you for being here. Can you tell the listeners where they can find your work again?
Yes. Basically, go to LizShannonMiller.com, which is kind of just, it's got links to my Twitter. My Twitter account is at Lizlet. That's LIZLET. What else? I have a Twitter account devoted to the movies I go see thanks to the AMC A-list. It's at Liz Abuses A-list. And
nice.
My first month I was actually pretty consistent. I managed to, because you get 3 free movies every week. So I maxed that out for a solid month. I need to have like a upside to being a freelancer, going to see a movie in the afternoon. If I'm waiting on emails, that seems like a good plan. So I've been less consistent with that recently, just because, as mentioned, I just spent 2.5 weeks doing nothing but caring about television.
Sure.
But now I'm looking forward to recommitting to my goal to make sure that AMC, I'm taking AMC for as much as I can for my $23 a month.
That is a great plan. I haven't made it past 10 yet so far in a month, but I mean, at least this year.
Hey, 10's not bad.
It's respectable, right?
Yeah, it's very respectable.
Best.
Like, it's a good solid average.
So, you know what, before I let you go, this is completely random and a total tangent, and I might cut it out, but
are you
going to sign up for the Regal one as well?
No, I don't have any Regals really near me, but I live basically with either walking distance or very easy bus ride to 3 different AMCs.
Oh, wow, that's nice. Okay, yeah, because I'm on AMC But we get more of like the indies at the Regal near us. And so I'm constantly still having to pay for movies, you know, if I go to the Regal. So I'm debating whether or not I can make it worth it to sign up for both. I don't know.
I mean, the question is, if you got Regal, would you still keep AMC? Like,
I definitely would, because all the big movies I love to see in the Dolby, which is AMC. Yeah. So it's like, I think I'd have to have both. And that's insane.
Hey, if you make it work, you make it work.
This episode of Piecing It Together is brought to you by the Truth Be Told Hip Hop Podcast. Although a fairly simple premise, what makes the show compelling is the camaraderie shared among the hosts, Big UU, Rifa, and Black Todd. The casual and unstructured format of the show is akin to an organic conversation, the kind that hip hop fans usually have with each other, with plenty of strong opinions and off-the-cuff rants and debates. Add it to the different backgrounds of each host, and what you're left with is a good and entertaining mix of personalities and perspectives all in one place. Subscribe now to the Truth Be Told Hip Hop Podcast on your favorite podcast player. All right, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Thank you to Liz for being here for it, and we got lots more Piecing It Together coming your way. We have literally 7 episodes in the can right now. I think it's crazy. And we're planning on recording another couple this week. So yeah, lots more coming your way. So make sure you are subscribed on your podcast app of choice. And if you enjoy the show, you can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. And you could just let us know what you think of the show. We'd love to hear from you. You can email me directly, bydavidrosen@gmail.com, or you can just tweet at us at PiecingPod, or join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, a movie discussion group. So that does it for today. Let's leave you guys with a piece of music. What do I got to play for you guys? Well, I mean, I don't really have anything super sweet or anything from my library of music, but I do have a track called Home. The name at least fits, right? So why don't we play Home? This is from a free album that I put out called Like Ashes, which you can download for free on my Bandcamp profile, davidrosen.bandcamp.com. So this is Home. Enjoy it, and we'll be back with more Piecing It Together next week.
and all points west.